Take your Bible at this time then and turn with me to the book of Hebrews. We're in Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 29 through 31, although we're just going to be looking at 29 this morning. Our message series is called Growing in Faith, and we've been studying this chapter, Hebrews 11, together over the past several months. And one of the things we learned right off the bat is that Hebrews 11 is the most exhaustive, the most complete chapter on faith that you'll find in the whole Bible. You know, beginning right with God's act of creation, Hebrews 11 then moves chronologically forward through the Old Testament, looking at one example after another, different examples of faith as demonstrated by various Old Testament persons of faith. And so far in our study, we've looked at Abel, we've looked at Enoch and his faith, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses. And so the passage we're going to be looking at this week and next all operate around a certain theme, but it presents three more examples of faith. And the first two examples of faith are demonstrated by the people of Israel. First, in the crossing of the Red Sea, under the leadership of Moses, and then at the Battle of Jericho, under the leadership of Joshua. And then the third example we'll look at is that of a woman who lived in Jericho, a prostitute named Rahab. And yet these three examples, they all go together. They present one common theme of faith. And that theme is what the theme we're focusing on this morning, trusting in God's deliverance. And so this is yet another way that we can demonstrate true biblical faith in our lives when things are out of your control, okay? When things are out of your control, you can show your faith by trusting in God's deliverance. And we're only going to have time this morning to look at the first of the three examples. We'll look at the next two next week. But this morning we're going to look at the crossing of the Red Sea. But I'm going to read all three verses together because they all follow on that same theme, trusting in God's deliverance. So if you'll stand with me for the reading of God's Word, we're in Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to read verses 29 through 31. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we look at this first example of faith, of trusting in your deliverance through the crossing of the Red Sea, Father, I pray that you would encourage us, whatever circumstances, situations we're going through this morning, Lord, what a hopeful message this is for us, that you are our deliverer and we can trust in you. Speak to us now through your word. Speak to us through your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. One of the great themes of the whole Bible is that God is our deliverer. God is our deliverer. God is the one who delivers his people from harm. He rescues us from danger. He frees us from captivity. He saves us from our sins. I want to share just a few verses from Scripture which speak of God as our great deliverer. I'm not even going to put them up on the screen. I just want you to hear these wonderful words of Scripture. And this is just a small sampling from all across the Bible of this major theme that God is our deliverer. Psalm 3:8 says this, "From the Lord comes deliverance." Psalm 32, verse 7, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." Psalm 34, verse 7. "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." Same chapter, Psalm 34, verses 17 through 19. "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Psalm 91, verse 15. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Jeremiah 15, verse 11. Surely I will deliver you for a good purpose. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Surely I will deliver you for a good purpose. Jumping into the New Testament, Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. This is from the Lord's Prayer where Jesus instructed us to pray, how? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So this is indeed one of the most precious aspects of biblical faith, that we can trust God to deliver us in our time of need. And so this week and next week, we're going to be looking at this theme, and we're going to be looking at three examples of trusting in God's deliverance. They're all found right here in Hebrews 11, verses 29 through 31. So today we're going to look at the first of those, crossing the Red Sea. Crossing the Red Sea. And the particular lesson of faith we learn from the Red Sea is this: when you are trapped by circumstances, when you are trapped by your circumstances, trust in God's deliverance. When you are trapped by circumstances, trust in God's deliverance. Look at verse 29 now with me. It says this: by faith, the people of Israel passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. As on dry land. How did the people of Israel cross the Red Sea? Two words. You know them by now, right? We've seen them over and over again in this chapter. How did they cross the Red Sea? By faith. By faith. It wasn't by natural ability. It wasn't by some engineering genius or sheer luck. No, it was by faith. It was by trusting in God's deliverance. They cried out to God, and God delivered them. The Israelites knew what it was like to be trapped and to see no way out, right? You know, when Israel left Egypt, the quickest and the most direct route for them from Egypt to Canaan, that would have been up along the rim of the Mediterranean Sea and then straight up into Canaan, the promised land. That would have been the quick and easy route, except it really wouldn't have been that easy. The Bible tells us God did not lead them that way with very good reason. That was where the Philistines lived. That was Philistine territory. And the Philistines were a warring people, and God knew that if the Israelites faced war right away, what were they going to do? They'd change their minds and run right back to Egypt. They tried doing that a lot anyways, right? So instead, what did God do? He led them around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. Now, the Red Sea is also called the Sea of Reeds, and it's a pretty long body of water. We're not sure of the exact location where the Israelites crossed, but we do know this. It was clearly a place where there was plenty of water, okay? Where the water was deep, where you could not get across. I get a kick out of some of the Bible commentaries you read, where the writers of these commentaries obviously have a problem with miracles. And so they get to this passage and they try to make the case that, you know, the place where the Israelites crossed was probably very shallow, maybe just a few inches deep. And, you know, not only is that not the way the Bible describes it, but, you know, if you go with that it was very shallow, you've got a whole different miracle you have to deal with then, right? Instead of the miracle of the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, you've got the miracle now of God drowning the entire Egyptian army with just a couple inches of water. So, I mean, you can't have it both ways. You've got a miracle no matter which. I think it's safe if we stick with the biblical account, right? You know, it was a deep water, and they needed God to pull those waters apart for them to cross. According to Exodus 14, God intentionally, this was God's purpose, God intentionally led the Israelites right to the edge of the sea, and there they made their camp and waited, because what else could they do? Yeah, where do we go now? How do we get across? Meanwhile, back in Egypt, Pharaoh looks around, right? He realizes he's just lost his entire slave labor force, and he says, this was a bad idea. So he decides to come after the Israelites himself in the desert. He makes ready his chariot. He calls forth the army. He takes 600 of his best chariots along with all the other chariots in Egypt. The whole army, the horses, the horsemen, the officers, the chariots, and the troops, they pursue the Israelites and they catch up with them where? Right at the Red Sea. Now, I want you to imagine you're one of the Israelites right now. Put yourself in their position, okay? You look up and you see Pharaoh and his entire army approaching. You're definitely trapped, right? You can't go forward. The sea is in the way. You can't go back the way you came. Pharaoh and his army block your retreat. Humanly speaking, right, there is no way out of this one. There's no way. So what do you do? When you are trapped by circumstances, trust in God's deliverance. Trust in God's deliverance. And we're going to look at 3 points under this. First of all, understand that God can make a way where there is no way. God can make a way where there is no way. We read this in Exodus chapter 14, that the Israelites, they looked up when they saw Pharaoh and his army bearing down on them. They were terrified, but then Moses encouraged them with these words. He said, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Now, there is a lot of good advice in those verses for us, right? When we find ourselves trapped by circumstances, don't be afraid. Stand firm. Look for God's deliverance. Trust God to fight for you and be still. Be still and know that He is God. Know that God can make a way where there is no way. That is exactly what God did for the Israelites, right? God told Moses, said, "Moses, raise your staff. Stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." And God here performs one of the great miracles of the Old Testament. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea and the waters were divided. God, who can make a way in the wilderness, made a passageway in the waters. He made a safe highway for the Israelites through the heart of the Red Sea. Now, both Exodus in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, the book of Hebrews in the New, both of these books stress the fact that the Israelites crossed over the Red Sea on dry ground. I love that. Dry ground. They didn't have to swim across. They didn't wade across. They didn't even get their feet wet. Okay? That's how powerful this miracle is. God pushed the waters back, and the Israelites crossed over on dry ground. That is a miracle. God has not changed, folks. God still works miracles today. And God can make a way for you today, even when there is no way. And that's good news for us, isn't it? That's good news when you are trapped by your circumstances. Do you ever feel that way, right? Do you ever feel trapped that, you know, you're looking at your situation and say, "God, there's no way out of this one. There's no way." You know, you study your situation from every angle. You run every possible scenario. You check and double check your figures. And as far as you can see, there is no solution. You can't go forward. You can't go back. So what do? When you're trapped by circumstances, trust in God's deliverance. God will make a way for you. We sang that song this morning with that beautiful truth, God will make a way when there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be your guide. Hold you closely to his side with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way. Remember, faith is what? Faith is being sure of what you hope for, right? And certain of what you do not see. And so you may not see the way, right? You might not see your way out. In fact, there may not even be a way. That's why you can't see it. There may not even be a way. Doesn't matter. Why? Our first point, because God can make a way where there is no way. Now, it's important to understand that the way God opens up for you, okay, he's going to make a way for you, okay? He's promised to do that. The way God opens up for you is still going to require faith on your part. The way God opens up for you will still require faith. You notice God did not just pick the Israelites up and then deposit them on the other side of the Red Sea. No, we read Exodus 14, 22. It says the Israelites had to go through the sea. They went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right, and a wall of water on their left. God created a passageway for them through the Red Sea, but you know what? They still had to walk that passage by faith. And it must have taken tremendous faith for them to step out onto the dry bed of the Red Sea with those towering walls of water above them on the right and on the left. Only God was holding those walls of water back. And if God chose to let go at any time, there was nothing anyone could do to stop him, right? When you're trapped by circumstances, God will make a way for you, but that way will still require faith on your part. Sometimes the way that God opens up for you involves making hard decisions or taking great risks in order to do that which is right. Sometimes it requires confession of sin. Sometimes not just to God, but to someone else, confession of sin. Sometimes it means letting go of some things that you hold real dear in life. God never promises you an easy way, but he does promise to make a way if you will follow him in faith. And most important of all, when you do follow God, when you do take that step of faith, when you step out into the riverbed of the Red Sea and you step out in faith, God promises to go with you. You will never walk the path of faith alone. Never. When you go with God, God promises to walk with you all along the way. God says this in Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. For I am the Lord your God, your Savior. You know what? That's the same word as your deliverer. God is the one who saves us, who delivers us. Yeah, the way God opens up for you will still require faith, but take heart, because when you pass through the waters, God will be with you every step of the way. And so God can make a way where there is no way. The way God opens up for you will still require faith. And then our third lesson we learned this morning from Hebrews 11:29 is the difference between faith and presumption. It's important to know the difference between faith and presumption. Back to Hebrews 11:29, we read this. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. We've seen that already. But now we come to a but here. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Now, think about this, okay? The Israelites and the Egyptians, right? They both entered the same passage between the same walls of water. The Israelites made it safely across, but the Egyptians drowned in their attempt. So what's the difference? What was the difference? Here's the difference. The Israelites walked by faith. The Egyptians acted in presumption. The Israelites were God's covenant people. They were responding in faith to God's word. God was the one who told them to pass through the waters. The Egyptians, they had no interest in God. They had no relationship with God. They had no word from God. They acted in presumption, and those great walls of water came crashing down upon them. So how do you know if you are responding in faith or acting in presumption? How do you know? Am I walking by faith or am I acting in presumption? Well, I'd ask you, first of all, do you know God? Do you know God? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because you see, that is the very first step of faith in the Christian life, right? That's your first step. That's how you get started. Trusting Jesus Christ as God's Son who died for you to save you from your sins. So are you trusting Christ as your Savior? Do you know God? Secondly, are you seeking God? Are you seeking God's will in your life as revealed in his word, as revealed by his Holy Spirit? Are you seeking to be obedient to that which God has already revealed to you in Holy Scripture? Are you truly seeking God first and not your own desires? If so, then I can tell you confidently, then you are responding in faith, and God will be with you as you follow him. But if you are not trusting Christ, if you are not seeking God first in your life and seeking to be obedient to his word, then you are not living in faith. You are outside of God's protection. Anyone who dares to live life without God is acting in presumption. And you never know when the walls are going to come crashing down on you. So which one are you this morning? Are you living in faith or in presumption? You might look like a Christian on the outside, right? You might even come to church regularly. You know what? The Egyptians looked just like the Israelites when they entered the Red Sea. But the Egyptians did not have true faith in God. And if you do not know Christ today, let me encourage you, put your faith in him today. God loves you so much. He sent his son to die for you. Put your faith in Christ and God will change your life forever. And when you reach the end of your days here on earth and when you walk through that great passageway of death, as we all must do someday, when you pass through the waters, God will be with you and he will bring you safely to the other side. You see, all of us need God's deliverance. All of us, certainly from sin, but at many other times in our lives as well. We all face times when we are trapped by our circumstances. And we don't see any way out. And that's when we need to remember that God is our strong deliverer. So what lesson do we learn from our first example here from the crossing of the Red Sea? When you're trapped by circumstances, trust in God's deliverance. Because God can make a way where there is no way. And the way God opens up for you, that's still going to require faith. And make sure that you are responding in faith rather than acting in presumption. As we close our message this morning, what is it that has you trapped today? What is it that holds you captive? Do you long for freedom? Know this, God is your deliverer. And he will deliver you as you put your faith in him. Remember Moses' words to the Israelites. We'll close with this. Do not be afraid. Stand firm. And you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see them again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this beautiful verse here in Hebrews 11, reminding us that you are our great deliverer. And Lord, if we get into those circumstances, Lord, where we don't see the way, and maybe there isn't a way to see, but Lord, that's where our faith comes in. Our faith in you. You are our deliverer. And when we are in Christ, when our faith is in you, when we are seeking you in our lives, Lord, you have promised to be with us. And you will walk right with us through the waters. You will lead the way. You will open the way. We need only to trust and be still and know that you are our God. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.